Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is The Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4097. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you are in the men's room. That's it today. Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Morning Show join us once again. We will sit and spin. And today, we go back in time for the 10 greatest rock songs of the 90s. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, men's room shout of the day, fundable listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
Click, clack.
All right, here we go. Drunk man hits a tree. Tree gets stuck in truck, so drunk man drives the tree home. Meanwhile, an intoxicated man goes to Yellowstone and gets a kick. Where'd the buffalo roam? Little girl said she had monsters in her room. Turns out it was 60,000 bees. A California man walks into a restaurant with a sword, leaves with a Maui Island breeze. And a woman pulled over without a license and on drugs throws her sister under the bus. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, now, I'm not saying that animals are attention whores, but they've been making headlines a lot recently. So things got started this weekend when excerpts from an upcoming book by South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem were published. Now, the particular controversy revolves around her dedicating a portion of her book to having to make tough decisions. And as an example, she shared the story of the time she dragged her puppy to a gravel pit and shot it in the face.
No!
Because she didn't like it. You did not hear about this?
No!
Oh, my God, dude. Don't worry. It gets worse from there.
Oh, boy.
That's just in a nutshell. But as you might imagine, that hasn't really landed too well with the general public. Now, closer to home, four zebras, they escaped near North Bend on Sunday. An unexpected sight, needless to say. But thanks to a local rodeo clown, three of the four, well, they were wrangled safely. Because that's right, zebras and rodeo clowns, it's a North Bend thing. And then here in Seattle, at Woodland Park Zoo, a brown bear named Juniper, she gave a little girl's birthday party an unexpected treat when she devoured a family of ducks that had the misfortune of landing in her enclosure. And if you care, there is a video. And then, just this morning, we read the story of the man at Yellowstone Park who was injured by a bison after the man kicked the bison 7 times. Or the little girl in North Carolina who kept telling her parents, "Man, there is a monster in my closet." "Oh, silly little thing, it's not a monster. It's 60,000 bees. Now look, we got a ton of other animal-related stories, but first, we want to hear from you with your answer to this question. What unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home Charles, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4097. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Joined again by the Daily Migs Morning Show, we will sit and spin. Today, we go to the decade that is the 90s. The folks at Loudwire came out with a list of the 75 greatest rock songs of the 90s.
All right.
You know all of them. Yeah. It was a hell of a decade for music. They're all good. We picked 10 of those, which we will bring to you today from the 90s decade. Great music.
I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm old enough. I remember the 90s vividly, and that was it was definitely a great decade for music.
Yeah, all kinds of good stuff on there. So we'll sit and spin, coming up with the Daily Mix Morning Show. Oh, what else do we have for you today? We are one day away from Metallica tickets every day in May. That starts tomorrow, speaking of the Daily Mix Morning Show.
Oh, hey, we were told from the top, this is very important, do not call it Metallica. They said you're better than that, so don't call May Metallica, okay. In spite of the fact that we're giving out Metallica tickets every day.
Oh, and we've got them
in May.
Ryan's got them.
Throw that out there.
Kevin's got them. So every single day, we have a chance for you to win tickets. So tomorrow morning, that all kicks off at 7:20. We'll also update you on some of the locations for the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. Thank you to the Ballard Market.
Good Lord, man.
An unbelievable display, man. They've got the beer. They've got all the San Juan salsas in the area. Don't think they have the Uli's Famous Sausage. Did see another display up at Market Time in Fremont.
Saw that one as well.
They've got a huge stack. They've also got the Men's Room Roast Red Salsa from San Juan. They carry Uli sausage. Not sure yet about the men's beer brat. That is not a far trek for me. I'm going to stop by tonight on my way home and pick some up and see what they got.
So. I want to go to the Ballard Market. Like, whoever set up that display, whoever physically put that thing together, I just want to buy you a beer.
Oh, thank you.
That thing was unbelievable.
And if you happen to see the beer in either on tap at your favorite local watering hole or in a grocery store or your local convenience store, do us a favor and snap a pic of that and then send it to the men's room at KISW.com and we will spread the word. The beer is selling fantastic.
Yeah.
We are doing a ton of good for the fine folks here at the 3 local Fisher House locations. And that's where a portion of the proceeds go for the beer. So keep that in mind. If you want to do some good, as you would say, Steve, you don't have to go out and run a 5K.
No.
Just buy a 6-pack or 12-pack of our beer and take it home and drink.
We do charity right.
Same with the sausage. Same with the salsa.
We want to raise money. We're going to make you run.
Like, no, drink a beer. Enjoy yourself.
Yes. And today on The Question, we're going to talk about the animal kingdom. And Ted, you were saying as you were coming back from Olaf's on Sunday, you heard the news or read the news about the zebras?
Just hopped on Twitter to see what's going on. You see the zebras are out, and you're like, ooh. Look, wild zebras. Well, where they shouldn't be. And then you realize it's North Bend. It's like, I know that area.
Right. Yeah, the story just kept getting weirder based on the fact that I don't know if there was a rodeo clown that just happened to be in the area or whatever the deal is, but they had a rodeo clown go to try to help wrangle up the zebras that were on the loose. Now, here is the...
I believe he was in the area and maybe offered up his help. Something that affects.
Okay.
That's the sense that I get, but I really can't tell because I don't know that a lot of people just have a rodeo clown on speed dial.
Well, yesterday they suspended the search for the missing zebra. So out
really?
Of the. Well, okay, so there were four, I believe.
Yeah.
And they have caught three of these. So they resumed again this morning, but Zebra Watch has been the talk of the town with many still on the lookout. Hey, if I lived in North Bend.
I'd be looking for it too, man.
Wouldn't you? I mean, if you work there, if you drive through there, I mean, if you're playing golf on the golf course, if you're at Mount Si, maybe the thing's up on the haystack. Who knows where this zebra could go?
What does zebra
mean? He could be like, hey, you know,
the issue is the latest video I saw is just somebody's trail cam. I think that zebra's just out in the woods roaming.
Well, it's a lovely area. I mean, there's a river, there's all that stuff.
Do we know what zebras eat? I mean, obviously, they're herbivores, but I mean, are they grass,
they're grazing. They're the grazing animals, I'm assuming?
I just feel like North Bend is a great... If you're a zebra, that's got to be a great relocation place.
Mm-hmm. You go to the golf course, it's green.
There's no luggage.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly grazes on grasses. It might browse a bit on leaves and stems of bushes.
All right.
But this zebra could be kind of like what happened with those hippos down in Colombia. Right? Like, the hippo's not normal to that environment, but it was like, oh, there's other fish here I could eat and stuff.
Sure.
So I don't think it's going to take this zebra long to be like, I live in the Northwest now.
And there's no lions. Nothing is actively hunting. Well, he might cross a
bear. And they've been
bear.
Living in Montana, right? So it's not like the zebra's straight out of Africa. And
straight
it's like
out of Africa.
Completely different environment.
Right. Hello, everyone.
He's going to catch it wearing flannel and a Starbucks
cup. I am a zebra.
Yeah, pictures, Mike, he's already got a Starbucks order. A zebra.
Pictures and a video circulated on social media Sunday afternoon of four of the zebras on the loose. After a couple hours and several sightings, three of the four animals were corralled by authorities. Yes, they were seen about 1:30 this afternoon. That, according to Dallas Clark, he works for the King County Animal Control. It's a badass name.
That is the perfect name to work in animal control.
What do you do, Dallas?
Deal with animals.
What do you think I do?
Beef.
I believe it.
Just remember, they are aggressive.
We have pulled up some stats on what you do if you encounter a zebra, since now it's a potential reality.
He hasn't gone far. He's not scared. He's just kind of looking and wondering where his friends are, probably, at this point. Clark said the fourth zebra was on the same property as the other three, but he jumped the fence and has been gone since. Zebras are, in fact, herd animals, and these particular zebras were used to being around one another. Yeah, they're domesticated, but not completely wild. It was someone's pet. But animal advocates are concerned that the lost zebra could be hit by a car, hurt in another way, possibly on the area's steep terrain, maybe attempting to cross the Snoqualmie River. We brought up that scenario yesterday. Clark said they do not want people trespassing on private property to search. He's fearful too many people will overwhelm the zebra and cause him to bolt further away. People are up here looking instead of just doing the normal routine. I understand the wanting to help. A big part of that, though, is also by not going out and finding him. The bigger thing right now is we just don't want people pushing on him. Clark said that by noon on Monday, he heard that three other zebras made it safely to the Spokane area as they were on their trip to Montana. A Western Montana woman had just bought these zebras because she runs a petting zoo there for children. Meanwhile, in North Bend,
she's good looking.
It's a story that's captivated a community.
By the way, somebody here, they say the former clown, the rodeo clown and his wife, they were coming back from a cattle drive. They just happened to be in the area with all their gear when they heard that this happened.
Well, what a fortunate set of events.
I mean, that is the perfect storm lining up. What do you do if four zebras escape in North Bend? Well, as luck would have it, a rodeo clown is driving through town with his gear.
Yeah, Mike, auctioneering isn't a weird thing by any stretch of the magic.
It's a rare thing.
It's a rare thing. Most people don't do that, and you have to have the skill to be able to do it.
Sure.
So, you get calls and you get flown all over the country to do auctions.
Yes, sir.
Now, this guy is a rodeo clown. How often does his phone ring? I have to know, is he going to like the PBR event in Tacoma?
Does rodeo have a season?
Then moving on to their next event, does he go down to Texas and do festivals and fairs?
Is there a main season?
You got to remember that there's like college rodeo and stuff over at like Eastern and everything.
Okay.
So like you need more rodeo clowns. I would think the PBR, those rodeo clowns are top of the game. So they're probably traveling with the professional bull riders.
All right, real quick. Do you think there's more rodeo clowns in the U.S. or auctioneers? I'm going to say rodeo clowns.
I'll know auctioneers.
You think, man? Because per rodeo, there's what, 3 to 7 to 9?
What's your average rodeo clown making a year? Okay, let's like, you know.
Not enough.
Your son comes up to you and says, Dad, you know what? I figured out my calling in life. I want to be a rodeo clown.
You grew up in Brooklyn. Where did this come from?
All right, son, you know, I got your back on this. What's the potential?
I mean, I think you
got
to count what counts as like an auctioneer. Like, Mike went to a school, but even if I just start doing auctions, am I an auctioneer?
No, you got to get a license for it.
You got to get a license.
Yeah. All right, what about a rodeo clown?
All right.
Because you're dealing with...
I mean, you're dealing with animals serious. That can take you out, right,
yeah,
for
you're
sure.
Dealing with bulls.
And you're protecting people from these same animals.
There's a high risk of injury, so you probably need some kind of medical insurance.
Is there a rodeo, by what?
The Rodeo Clown Union? You're not hired by Rodeo Clowns Incorporated. I mean, you're a rodeo
I would
clown.
Think like the PB or whoever runs the main rodeo.
Well, those guys, probably, yeah, on the level 10.
Okay, so you're saying like the lower level.
This guy just driving down the street. Rodeo clown. I mean, is he like... I'm just, does he have an outfit? Is it like Kiss? You know, like where, you know, if you're a clown, everybody shows up in different war paint.
Yeah,
you know, you're,
well, he's got to show up as a clown. I mean, that's what makes him the rodeo clown.
Otherwise, he's just the rodeo dude.
But what I'm saying is, Ted, once you find out your clown makeup, right? Yeah. Do you have like one style that you use, like Gene Simmons? Or do you have like two or three different designs that you paint your face with?
I think most clowns, as far as I can tell, seem to have their own patented face. So, in other words, once you see them, whatever, if they're Slappy, right? I'm Slappy the Clown. Anytime you see Slappy the Clown, Slappy is going to look the same.
Because if I see you and we work together, but then you come to a different event and you've got a different facial paint.
I think I have to change my name.
I don't know who you are.
Right,
you know,
I can't go Slappy.
We just work together. All right. They say if you do encounter a zebra, you should avoid making it angry and stay away from its hind legs.
Makes a zebra angry?
Highly aggressive and evolved to thrive in hostile environments, so they can cause serious damage if you make them angry, thinking of the things that they need to fight off in the actual wild. Lions.
They fight lions.
Yeah.
They're going to take your ass off.
Zebras are also unpredictable, can be difficult to halter and saddle train as well. So just know that going in.
Yeah, don't try to put a saddle on the zebra.
Yeah, they had a rodeo clown who was on his way, I guess, to a rodeo, and they were using him to help corral. So he probably knows what he's doing.
Sure.
I mean,
probably
for sure.
Better than anyone else in a given situation.
Okay. Let's stay local for one more because this is just somewhat entertaining. A group of visitors at Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo witnessed a brown bear scarfing down several ducklings in her habitat last week.
To be fair, duck is delicious.
In a TikTok video posted by Rochelle, the bear named Juniper is seen watching the mother duck and her ducklings in the water before diving in and devouring the ducklings.
One by one.
One by one. A video showed the flock
of ducks.
Have
you watched it yet?
Have you seen the little kids
at the front of the glass?
Yeah, I was showing Mike yesterday. I go, watch this, man. This is brutal.
How long is the video?
Probably like a minute and a half. The bear takes his time.
He does.
Eating each little duckling.
The video shows a flock of ducks landing in a grizzly bear enclosure at Woodland Park Zoo for a swim. Unfortunately for the ducks, the bears treated the guests as an afternoon snack, grabbing and eating them as onlookers watched. This happened during Rochelle's daughter's birthday party, where there were several children and adults. Thanks, Juniper. According to Rochelle, the zoo said Juniper, 2-year-old coastal brown bear from Anchorage, Alaska, where she was found roaming alone near an ice Air Force base. Her name was inspired by the plant found in the Cascades. Accordingly, the zoo's bear keepers say that Juniper is known to have a goofy personality and is the resident comedian. You know what would be funny? This kid's having a birthday party. I'm going to eat all these ducks in front of him. She is commonly seen with a stick or root ball in her mouth. They also said she has a big presence and is boisterous. And if you think that that's fun, go see a bear at the zoo. There's one more little tidbit here locally that you should probably be aware of. The state of Washington will soon be getting a little grislier. NBC News reports per joint record of decision that the National Park Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department have decided to actively restore grizzly bears to the North Cascades of Washington.
By the way, the ducks are protesting.
The agencies say their intent is to put together a founder population of the species of about 2 dozen or so bears over the next decade, with a bear set free in far-flung parts of the Evergreen State. The ultimate goal is to achieve a population of around 200 bears, grizzly bears.
Okay.
Now, the North Cascades used to be full of grizzlies. They were overhunted for their fur, leading to thousands of bear deaths. The bears have not been reliably spotted in about 30 years here. They do say they're good for the overall ecosystem as they mix up soil and help move seeds. They're expected to do relatively well as the climate chase continues to create environmental changes. They can be one of the climate change survivors. Putting back a species like that builds resilience in an ecosystem in the face of change. We do have a number of very dangerous animals, including cougars here in Washington. Obviously, brown bears.
Mm-hmm.
The reintroduction of the grizzly, man. I mean, if you are one of those people that go out and go hiking for a week or two or take the trail, that's just one of those things where I'm just like, man, it's not that it's a deal breaker. It's like,
for me, it's not even so much if I hike. It's more like if I live out in the cut, right? That's where I know I have to deal with the occasional mountain lion. I know I'm going to deal with black bears. I know they go through my trash, all that stuff. Like, grizzly bear just seems a little different.
It is. They say,
it is. I guess the issue is, though, is like basically they'd still be there if we hadn't just hunted and killed them all.
Understood, but you're 100% correct. I'm just saying, like, at the time that I bought my house out there, like, I never knew them to be here. I understand they used to be here. So now you're telling me, hey, guess who's coming back? That big old grizzly.
It's kind of it's a complicated process based on their size, they say. So they're gonna go to Montana and the Rockies and British Columbia. They're gonna try to trap these bears and bring them back. Now, as far as the cons, obviously, a risk to humans.
Well, sure.
As well as local livestock.
Yeah.
And one rancher says, look, man, you guys reintroduced the wolves to the area. They are mating and taking off in the population. And we're having to deal with all these wolves as far as our livestock and everything else. We don't need to be thinking about grizzly bears. One thing at a time, please, according to a rancher.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I choose to live in that part, like, I know they used to be here, but they haven't been here. And now I'm here, and this is an issue. By the way, we got some updates on the whole clown thing, okay?
All right.
So, clowns have to be registered. I'm sorry. Clowns have to register their name and look. All right. So whatever.
So any clown. Is this a rodeo clown or is this any clown?
This is any clown. All right. So, or I guess the major clown.
But
so
a rodeo clown falls under the umbrella of clown.
We don't know. It says, I wonder if a rodeo clown needs to be certified professional clown and then get rodeo trained, which I would find unlikely. And someone else says a rodeo clown actually bills himself as a bullfighter. So it might not be as important for them to register their face paint. Like you got enough problems.
Okay.
You're dealing with 2,000-pound angry-ass animals all the time. Don't worry about it. You're a different breed. But if you're just a clown that is not doing the rodeo thing, then, yeah, you must register your face paint and your name.
Okay. Well, all right. Inherently, you need to be quick on your toes.
Yes.
You need to have unbelievable side-to-side agility. You need to be able to jump, be quick on your feet. So, like, I believe if you're a rodeo clown, You got a trainer at the gym. Like, you're doing box jumps. You're doing side-to-side shuffles.
They look a little silly, but they're not out there messing around.
No, they're not messing around.
I mean, without them, your life depends on those riders would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. That's why the job of a rodeo clown is kind of like being a human shield.
And you should, man. I don't know if they do, but you should be wearing the equivalent of, like, a hockey helmet or a football helmet or something on your head for the protection. And I would even think your face.
I mean, maybe. At that point, man, that helmet's not going to do a whole lot. If it's an angry bull.
If you get flipped in the air, you take a horn to the head it's not going to hurt. I'm just saying, I don't know that I've... Maybe that's standard, wear, but I...
But it's really getting to the barrel. Like, your helmet is that barrel, man. That is your safety net right there. Hop your ass, and they can still knock the barrel over, roll your ass, but they have a hard time getting you out.
And the riders generally nowadays wear helmets just because getting bucked off that thing.
Yeah, they're getting thrown the hell off.
There's a good chance the back of your head's going to hit the ground.
Right. Okay.
So I feel like, listen, rodeo clowns are wild, man. I mean, seriously, I mean, that is what they're doing is unreal. You got to make sure that bull is pissed at you so he doesn't stomp on the rider.
I understand the guys who do the rodeo clown thing. I guess that is their calling, but I feel like that would be like your work release program.
Right.
You've been in prison. Yeah. We got a gig for you. You can pick up trash on the highway or be a rodeo clown.
The rider's in there, and he tries to do 8 seconds. I don't know how many times he rides in a event, but either way, the rodeo clowns are in there for every single guy.
Yeah, and Mike and I went. They don't make it to 8 seconds a lot.
Oh, hell no.
And then to try
how much time is it between riders on average, right? So I get bucked off the bull. How much time before now Mike goes up after that? In other words, they have time to catch their breath?
Like when you go to the horse races, you know you got about a 15-minute window, half-hour window.
It's not that long.
I feel like they've got two chutes that they load bulls and riders into so that when one's done, they're already loading the next one up.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, there was definitely like almost like a halftime break, right? They kind of separate the guys that have qualified or whatever. All right. But once they start rolling them, they go pretty quick.
Okay,
should do the ads for like G-Water. Like, he plays football. Ooh, LeBron James. Okay, I deal with bulls every day, bro.
What unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom? 206-803-ROCK.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
My question, what unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello. Whoops. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So, back in 2006, I was active duty Army, and I was sent to Iraq. And my buddy stuck a live camel spider in my sleeping bag.
He picked it up and put it in your sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Now, we've had the misfortune of seeing one of those things, and while they're terrifying looking, are they dangerous? Are they venomous at all, or is it just their appearance?
They're not exactly venomous, but when they start chewing on something, they kind of excrete a,
Okay.
So, like, if you're a deep sleeper and, like, they start munching on you, when you wake up, you'll have a chunk missing and not know how the heck it left.
How many people? So you're saying that there's actually a numbing agent that the spider uses to continue eating you while you're still alive?
Yes.
Well, I think that's actually thoughtful of it. You know, all things being
horrible. It's like a local.
It's horrible, but also, like, if you're going to eat me, if you could do it painlessly, I'd be like, well, I do appreciate that one small thing you did. Well, like, lions don't do that. It just hurts. How many people did you know got bitten by one of those things?
Personally, none.
Okay. And you managed to avoid getting bitten?
I'm still awake.
Okay.
So did you see this when you opened up your sleeping bag, or did you discover it after you got into your sleeping bag?
Oh, my God. I discovered it after I got into my sleeping bag.
And what was the tell that there was something in a sleeping bag with you?
Imagine if your eyes are closed and your buddy, like, just kind of grabs your thigh with his fingers without you seeing it.
All right. And that's what the spider felt like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It grabbed onto you.
Yeah. It was terrifying, especially due to the fact that getting into the sleeping bag, I'm buck naked.
Yeah. What is, wow. I gotta ask. Summertime camping sucks, based on the fact that typically you end up sleeping on top of your sleeping bag and getting eaten alive by no-see-ums or whatever. What is the temperature of that bag? In other words, what does it go down to?
Well, the sleeping bags that the Army uses, they come in three pieces. So depending on how warm or how cold you want it, you add or take away one of the pieces.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I can't imagine being in a desert where it's 140 degrees and having to get into a bag every night when it's still 105 to go to sleep. That sounds like living hell.
What's the hottest temperature you had to deal with there?
Well, not Iraq, per se, but Kuwait got up to about 120, 125.
Golly, damn. Man.
Are you just chugging water all day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I figured.
That's it. What else can you do, man?
Nothing.
Jesus.
What unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom? 206-803-ROCK.
Not big on the idea of spiders visiting me in my sleep. I really am not, man. And I'm sure they've crawled across me a million times since I've been alive, don't know.
You know when you wake up with a spider bite. It's a totally different
bite. No, if it bites me, yes. But I'm saying just the idea of it walking across your head to get to the other side of the bed or something like
that. Oh, you don't want to know all the things that's happened while you've been sleeping. I'm sure if there was a video of all the weird stuff, you would probably...
What other things do you think happened to you?
You probably would have a hard time going to bed.
In your sleep, right? You got spiders, probably ants.
Well, like centipedes, silverfish.
Silverfish,
maybe a mouse running over the top of your bed.
I'm better with a mouse than I am with the silverfish, man. I don't know why.
Depending on where you live, there's, you know.
True. Yeah, I think, right. Like, out here, I don't sweat it too much, besides the spiders.
Yeah.
I guarantee a cockroach ran over the top of your head in New Orleans at least once or twice.
Dude, listen, they can call them cockroaches all they want. Those things are freaking monsters. They are so big.
The palmetto bugs or whatever, guaranteed one thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a palmetto bug. And my brother, it's a flying cockroach. The worst experience I had with that, man. So the first day I got to New Orleans, the place I had was old building and had like 13-foot ceilings. And I thought it was a dead roach on the wall. I could not tell that it had wings. So I got a broom, brushed it off, and it started falling to the floor. And then it stopped falling, made this buzzing sound, and started flying around. So I'm like, I was not mentally prepared to deal with this, so I went downstairs to the bar. There's a bar down there. Had a couple beers. Everyone says, look, man, you'll get used to it, right? It's just a fact of life. And for the most part, they were right. You'd see them. You just don't bother them. They kind of leave you alone, go on their own. But there's a day I'm going to work. I'm going to take a shower. I am butt naked. The water is running. I am now in the shower getting wet, and I closed the shower curtain. And this goddamn thing is on the inside of the shower curtain, like in the shower with me. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm a grown-ass man, it took about 20 minutes of me screaming to finally get out of there and be okay with my situation. Because there's no one else home.
Yeah, they can't. They don't bite.
I'm telling myself that. Like, dude, it doesn't do anything other than exist. But the fact that it exists in the shower with me on the shower curtain is very problematic.
What unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, Rockin' Ronnie here. Hey, it was about 1981 up in the mountains camping. My dad took me and some friends up there. And early in the morning, we went for a walk, and I saw this little puddle of water in front of a tree. And I was checking it out on my hands and knees with my face right down by the puddle. I had mosquito larvae wiggling, you know, and I was just checking it out. My buddy gave me a push and said, dude, snake. And I was like, oh, quit goofing around. And I sat back up and I had noticed that right directly behind the puddle of water was a giant rattlesnake all curled up with his head pointing right at my face, not even 12 inches away from my face.
Really?
I didn't even see it.
Did you freak out?
Not really, because we had a lot of rattlesnakes up in the desert, but I didn't know it was that close.
Right, that's the difference.
He might have saved my life.
Maybe. I mean, you probably wouldn't have died, but you'd have to go through the whole rigmarole that happens.
You need to get out of there pretty quick, yeah. That's a fact. I had one go underneath my legs when I was peeing in the desert in eastern Washington. And, man, I mean, I saw the head. I'm midstream. The head's pretty big on this bad boy. Mm-hmm. And then as he kept going through my legs, he came from the backside. I didn't see him. He kept getting fatter and fatter and longer and fatter. And I'm like, typically, I've never seen a rattlesnake that big in eastern Washington.
Yeah.
This thing was at least 4 to 5 feet long. And I could not believe the size of the rattle when it went under. I started aiming to the left because he was going like right down the middle.
Yeah.
I did not pee on him. He went right underneath my legs.
Probably a good decision, dog.
And just kept going. And I mean, I apparently turned white as a ghost.
Well, yeah, especially when you're twigging berries around. Some of that's a game changer in every capacity. Yeah. I hit a rattlesnake on my bike once. We're in Colorado. There were rattlesnakes everywhere. But because we were little kids, we just processed it better because every teacher, every parent, they taught you the rattlesnake drills. So we kind of didn't sweat it. You didn't want to get bitten because getting bitten hurts, but we did not fear we were going to die, right? No. You still avoided them, but we had our suicide hill, as every neighborhood does. But where this was, they hadn't built houses yet, but they kind of plowed this prairie. So, I mean, it's just basically brown as far as you can see. And we went flying down the hill, but there was a pipe going across the path at the bottom. So me and my buddy Scott, the whole point is, because, you know, when you're a young boy, our bike's going to go as fast as we can. We're going to hit this pipe and pull a wheelie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right in front of me, and I just see him bank off to the left into the sage, and I'm like, man, he's being a pee. At the last second, I realize, oh, it's not a pipe. That's a rattlesnake. But I guess the thing snapped. The best I can tell is that it tried to snap at me because it got tangled in the spokes of my front tire, which stopped my bike completely. I flipped over, hit the ground, but the snake was all bloody and ripped up, like in my spokes. Mm-hmm. A couple of my spokes were missing, so I had to wheel my bike home. And I remember this. My father's in the garage, and I come when he's like, Steven, what's wrong with you? I'm like, dude, the bike's messed up. Then he looks down at the tire and just sees blood everywhere. So now he's about to panic, thinking it's me. I'm like, this is not my blood. It was a rattlesnake. And my dad's not cool with rattlesnakes. He didn't like it. He's like, did it bite you? I'm like, look, a rattlesnake's dead as a rattlesnake can be, because I had to pull it out of my bike after the fact. But because it was a new housing development, there were just rattlesnakes everywhere. And on every weekend, at least during the summer when you got up, you'd hear someone within a block just, and it was someone
with a
metal
ring. They'll give you a warning.
Beating the hell. Right, so it was in everyone's gardens. Right, there was nothing you could do about it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, like, it was in every.
Good.
But even my elementary school, think about this now. I guess if you live in Arizona, it's probably still the same thing happening. But all the kids would walk to the school. It was a new construction. And when we got there, Miss Seth, that was our recess lady, she had a little orange sash on, and she'd make us stand by the bike racks. And where the sandbox was, the whole playground, but the sandbox, there were these two dudes every day, Monday through Friday, running their big forks and ropes and all that through there to pull out the snakes. And we'd usually watch them pull two or three out. They put them in a bag, but he would always say, yeah, I think that's all of them. Not like, hey, all just,
that's all of them.
I think that's all of them, man. And she would blow the whistle, and we could go play. That was every day, man.
What unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
Hola. Hey, have you guys heard from Eastwood lately?
You know what, man? We actually have not.
Not in a while.
It's funny. Everybody bitches about the dude when he calls, but I would say the last couple events we've done, everyone keeps asking us, hey, man, where's Eastwood? We don't know.
He's typically a big dummy guy on Thursday.
Oh, I got you. All right. Well, here, I got one major one and then one minor one for you, if that's cool.
Right. Sure.
All right, so the major one that I called in for, so me and my buddies were about 17, 18. I used to borrow my sister's Chevy Aveo to get to work.
Jesus.
So we get the idea to go take it for a joyride one night. And I lived out in North Bend at the time. So, you know, that big old patch of like mile two grass that's in between Snoqualmie and North Bend, back roads. Yeah, we think it's a good idea to, you know, take a Chevy Aveo out into the field and do some donuts and, you know, peel up some dirt. Well, we get out there and I get maybe like four or five in, and then I stop and we look in front of us, and right in the headlights are about 20 to 25 elk just standing all around us in this field. And we're like,
no, we got to go. We got to go.
That's Chevy. That's a tiny car.
Yeah,
that's
a tiny car.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised I didn't flip it. Like, I'm really grateful that nothing really bad happened to that car. There was a stick up in the rear axle by the end of it. But, I mean, yeah, nothing too serious to the point where my sister found it.
How big are elk in person?
I'm standing, I was 6'4". I was in Falcon Ridge in Oregon, walked up one on the trail, and it was a female, and I could not believe what I was seeing.
Like, are you eye-to-eye with this thing?
No way.
It's taller than you.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Like 7 feet tall?
This thing was huge. It was like a cow on stilts.
Depends on, right, male, female.
Because I always see pictures, but I can't get a reference in my mind.
I'm sure the male looks more intimidating based on the rack. I saw a female that looked
just
like...
Just think of the biggest deer you've ever seen. And make it bigger.
Just make it bigger.
Right, I mean, the biggest... Like, right, I've seen them on the side of the road. The biggest one was driving through Greenwater. And, like, there's a few homes there, right?
Okay.
And we're driving down after snowboarding up on Crystal... And, like, this house has a bay window, right? But the bay window is not on the ground. It's got to be at least, like, 2 or 3 feet up.
Okay.
You know, like, standard bay window.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, the elk is just standing there, and he's, like, at the top of the window looking into these people's living room.
That's comforting.
Probably watching some television.
That, Miles, that's exactly what it looked like. Like, as we drove by, I was like, is he just watching
TV?
Hey,
man, you mind if I stop by? Is the game on?
Okay, I'm looking at a picture of an elk now. Yeah, that dude is doing the right thing, which is cowering like a bitch.
Don't do that.
What was your minor story?
Minor story. So back when I was a kid, we lived, like I said, out in the North Bend, Snoqualmie area. We lived out in the boonies, so I didn't really have the ability to get out into town. So I just kind of like mess around in my front yard and everything like that. And I'm just like doing my own thing. I'm like twirling a stick around or something like that. And I turn around and I see this gardener snake just passing by. Ted, I'm with you. I can't do snakes.
Yeah.
I see a snake, I run. And every once in a while I'll tell this story and my family swears that when I tell them how big the snake is, they tell me it gets bigger by about a foot every time I say it.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is growing up in West Virginia, there's a lot of harmless snakes. So as a kid, you grow up, you play with racer snakes, you play with gardener snakes.
Yeah.
Depending on the size of the black snakes will bite you, but you can easily release their mouth, and they don't really leave a mark or anything like that. It feels like a vice situation.
Okay.
Because they're just clamping down.
So their jaw strength, not teeth so much.
Correct. And then they're going to hit, sometimes they reticulate, sometimes they just eat the damn thing whole, hold it in their mouth long enough to strangle it and then eat it. So we would play with snakes all the time, but you knew... You know, if you're on the river, cottonmouths. If you're in...
Yes, it's very important to know which snakes you should not deal with.
So we learned to identify. Like, there's a big black rat snake that could be, like, 8 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your buddy could pick one of those bad boys up and act like you're going to jump rope with it. It would be pissed. But it wasn't going
to... But nothing you can do.
But it wasn't going to hurt you. As long as you just grabbed it by the neck, you know what I mean? Somebody grabbed it by the tail, like, da-da-da-da-da. So we played with snakes. It was just... You got to know what you're dealing with.
Because
you can tell a cottonmouth because they're kind of bullish looking. They're very thick.
They're stubby.
And they're typically by the water.
Yeah.
Rattlesnakes are typically only in sunny areas. So if you're hiking in the woods.
Well, rattlesnakes are very identifiable.
And there's coverage. Kind of like if you're hiking in the mountains here until you get to the top, you really don't have a lot of sun that's coming in, with the umbrella of the forest. Same with rattlesnakes. But if you get in an area where there's a stream and there's rocks or there's open areas, like if you were on the top of, Mailbox Peak, where that big rock formation is, if that was West Virginia, it would just be covered in rattlesnakes because they just want the sun.
They're just out there sunning.
Exactly.
What was the, there's an old saying, and I can't remember. This is mostly like tropical snakes, right? But I remember watching... one of these nature documentaries with my mother when I'm a child. And I can never remember the order. But anyway, they're out there in the jungle, and this big-ass red-striped snake goes by. And it alarms everyone for a minute, but the guy doing the voiceover says, they realize this isn't one they need to worry about. And I believe it was something, there's a saying like, red next to black, as far as...
This is Australia.
Red next to black is a friend of Jack. Red next to yellow can kill a fellow. Yeah. Or it's the other way. So my thing is, I'm like, I don't remember which is which.
It's like a coral snake. There's a couple different varieties of those.
You're saying it was the first way, Mike? Red next to black is a friend of Jack.
Yeah, red on black, you're okay, Jack. Red on yellow, kill a fellow.
Okay.
The other one's like a milk snake or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, snake's the one that you don't want.
There's only a
sometimes,
few
too, like Miles is saying, you can just tell by people's reactions, right? So obviously, like, there's snakes in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Depending on where you go. And, like, sometimes in the summertime, it just gets warm enough, some of those animals will travel up. Like, you know, in Peachy County, you don't see a ton of wildlife.
Sure.
But they built a lake. Me and my cousins would go fishing there. And you'd see some of the, what Miles was talking, I guess the bull snake or whatever. Like,
yeah,
basically, people never really.
Mouse.
Well, not the dangerous ones. Like, just like black snakes or whatever, which was fine because there was always, like, park police there.
Yeah.
But then one time I remember, like, we're walking with our fishing poles to go buy, like, worms or something at the little stand. And there's just a park policeman. He's like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. And same thing. It must have been a water something dangerous because he was
really? Just nope.
Like you two don't know what you're doing. Just go clear on the other side.
I wonder how many of those rhymes are out there that teach you to remember something that's just general knowledge.
That you forget.
Like, if it smells like fish, you know, there's all kinds of different ones.
What was one? Beer before liquor, never sicker? Right, or is a liquor before beer, never fear? See? That's what I'm saying.
You're in the clear.
Wait, so
liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, never
always
be sicker.
Yeah.
Actually, going from my personal experiences, yes, that is definitely.
Yeah, but the problem is you need four or five beers for your brain to go, where's your drinks of bourbon?
Yeah.
How does that go again?
That's generally my issue. So, yeah, good call, brain. Now's the time.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I haven't smoked weed in 10 years. I'll try it now.
I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, thanks, brain. Let's go get the spins and puke.
What unexpected encounter did you have with the animal kingdom? 206-803-ROCK.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.